Thank you very much, Dr. Monteith. If you have any questions, go ahead and line up at the back, and I'm sure Dr. Monteith will be happy to answer them for you. Please, no political statements, no opinions, just ask the good doctor a question. He's got a lot of answers, I'm sure.
Can I talk you out of the glass of water?
Sure.
Okay, fine. If you have a question, we'd love to answer it, if we can. No questions. Well, I guess we covered it all then.
Testing.
Okay, it's working. Okay, go ahead. What is the New Age religion? Is that dealing with the environment? The environment and all, do you know, is the new world religion that they're trying to put on us?
Oh, what about the environment, its relationship to the New Age and the new world religion? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, they are using the environment to justify all sorts of increased government control. These people really have a worship of Mother Earth. They've substituted a worship of the God of the heavens for the earth. And it's paganism, and it's this old idea that we are all one. You are part of me, I'm part of you. You're part of the floor, I'm part of the ceiling. We're part of the trees and the flowers and the animals. And it's this pagan concept that has gripped the minds of so many people. Anything to draw people away from the truth that is recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Now, you have to understand that the environmental movement is largely being funded by the great foundations, the Lawrence Rockefeller Foundation. You go into the background of the funding of the environmental movement, and it comes right out of our great corporations. And why are even many of the corporations that are being impacted by the environmental movement funding it? Because they're not as interested in profit as they are in increasing the power of government over the lives of the people. And of course, the whole environmental movement then gets into sustainable development. Key phrase. What it really means is we got to kill off a lot of people so that we don't use up so many of the natural resources. And that is the major motive behind the genocide that is going on in the world today. And if you haven't got a copy of my little monograph on population control, we can either give you one or you can send, and we'll send it to you. But it's vitally important that people get that, understand that there is genocide going on throughout the world today, and it all ties into the environmental movement, the outlawing of DDT. DDT was not outlawed because it was entering the food chain, because it was killing people. It was outlawed because it was saving lives. And we give you the documentation on that. Alexander King from the Club of Rome talked about the tragedy that DDT was saving so many lives in Guyana. And Worthing, I think that's his name, actually had talked about how his major objection to DDT was because it was keeping people from dying. There is a Malthusian philosophy out there that ties into this whole thing. That manifests a hatred of humanity, because humanity is God's highest creation.
Okay, thank you.
The microphone, please.
Over here.
Don't be bashful. Just go back and pick up the mic there.
So the ultimate executive behind all of this is the bankers?
No, it's not the bankers. It's all Luciferian. I mean, the Luciferians are working with the banker. The bankers are energized by Luciferian forces, by Luciferian spirits. It's
yes,
not the bankers. It's all of them. Maybe I should explain to you that Monsieur Perrault finally decided that all 12 of the suspects had killed them. They had all killed him. And, of course, that was the secret of the murder on the Orient Express, and that's the secret of the problem we pointed out tonight. They are all involved, but the common denominator is Luciferianism.
They're energized by Luciferianism, but they are human beings acting as agents of this. Who are the human beings? Aren't they all bankers or members of the aristocracy?
No. They are at every level of our society. And, of course, you can get the demonic roots of globalism. You can get James Wardner's Unholy Alliances. You can get Paul Fisher's excellent book, Behind the Lodge Door. You can get Dennis Cuddy's book, New World, New Age Order. But you'll find the membership list of the Council on Foreign Relations. You can get that by simply writing to 58 East 68th Street, New York City, New York. Get the CFR membership. You can write to the Trilateral Commission. We'll be glad to give you the name. You can get the names of those people. But this is a massive movement for literally millions of people who are energized by the dark side.
Yes, sir. You were talking about a secret club or a secret party. What's the name? What's the exact name of that?
It never had a name. It was originally, the front organization was called the Round Table in England.
In England.
In England. And when it came to America, the front was the Council on Foreign Relations, according to Professor Quigley and according to certainly all of the evidence that we can find. The Council on Foreign Relations grew directly out of the meetings between Lord Milner's men
around
the inquiry in Paris back in 1919, and the offshoot of that was the formation of the Royal Institutes in every major Commonwealth nation, and in America, the Council on Foreign Relations, which was, according to Professor Quigley, a front group for J.P. Morgan and the Small American Roundtable Group.
And it started about 1914, the League of Nations, or what?
Well, the League of Nations started about 1919, 1920.
After the First World War.
After the First World War. The First World War was fought to justify the League of Nations, and when the League of Nations failed, then, of course...
The First World War was about...
The League of Nations, yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, if you'd like to document
that...
Is that unbelievable? Well, I don't mind if you question that. I'd suggest you get my interview with Norman Dunn.
No, I'm not doubting that. It's just amazing.
Well, we
unbelievable is amazing.
Well, we have, fortunately, an interview I did back in 1980 with Norman Dodd. Now, Norman Dodd was the director of research for the Rees Committee, which was commissioned by the 83rd Congress to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations. And in the course of the investigation, one of his research assistants, a Miss Catherine Casey, had the opportunity of going through the early records of the Carnegie Endowment for...
What year was this?
This was, well, she was going through this in 1953 or 54.
This is way after,
after. But the records she was going through were 1908 and 1909, before the Carnegie Endowment was even incorporated. And he tells the story, it's on the tape, and she found that the members of the board were actually talking about how can we change the world, what's the best way to change the world, and they decided that war was the best way to change the world. And when they decided on that, they said, well, how can we get America into a war? That's what he told me in 1980.
They sat at the round table and said, how can we have some war?
Well, it wasn't the round table, it was the Carnegie Endowment.
In England?
No, in America.
In America.
Right.
All right, thanks a lot for your time.
Okay, thank you. Yes,
Hi.
Sir.
What I would like you to do is, I've got a son here that's just starting school, and I'd like you to address the issue of what should be the motivation and the goals of young Christian kids starting off on a career path.
To love the Lord. To know God's word, that's the most important thing that you can give to your children, because we are headed for very, very bad times. I'm going to have to ask somebody to give me another little glass of water before my voice gives out. But really, you need reading, writing, and arithmetic, phonics. But the most important thing is traditional history. The most important thing really is to learn the fear of the Lord. Freedom does not come from doing whatever you want to. Freedom comes from doing what God tells us to do, and following the Ten Commandments. There is no such thing as freedom if there's not restraint. Bring your child up in the ways of the Lord, and that's what we're called to do, and that's the best advice I can give you, sir. And I can tell you that looking back on my life, I'm a little older than you are, but I've got three kids, and all of them love the Lord. None of them are doctors, none of them are professional people, but I think maybe that's far more important than all the education I could have given them.
Dr. Monteith, I know you've interviewed Malachi Martin.
Yes.
And I want what's your opinion of him and his writings? And the second question is, do you know what's happened to Linda Thompson? I know you've had some exposure to her, too. Thanks.
All right. I don't know what's happened to Linda Thompson. Haven't heard from her in a long time. Malachi Martin is one of the most fascinating people around today. I think he's right on as far as his description of what's going on in the Catholic Church. In other words, the Catholic Church has been infiltrated, but the Protestant Church has been infiltrated too. But the primary drive of the Masonic movement was always to destroy first the Catholic Church and then Christianity altogether. And I think that what Malachi Martin says about the Masonic influence about the satanic rituals are true. And I take that not only because he has said it, but Pope Paul VI, before his early demise, talked about the satanic smoke over the Vatican, and recently an exorcist, he's an archbishop from Africa, a black Catholic, has spoken about the demonic and satanic influence within the Vatican itself. So I don't think there's any question at all. He's right on. And of course, this idea that the Pope wants to lead this whole move towards world government would suggest that perhaps his allegiance is not to the God of the heavens, but to a political agenda. And I think this is rather frightening. I think we are indebted to Malachi Martin for what he's written.
Until I had read the late in his life interview with Norman Dodd, I personally had never heard of the Société Générale de Belgique, but lately on the internet, on some of the conspiracy discussion groups, I've seen speculation that they have... I'm getting to it. I've seen speculation that the Société Générale has co-opted the leadership of the Roundtable, the Pilgrim Society, and I'm wondering if you can tell us anything from your research.
Well, I remember spending a couple of weekends with Norman Dodd, a wonderful gentleman, and he used to talk about the Société Belgique. It certainly was a very, very powerful force dealing with Belgian international interests, mining in Africa. I really believe, if you see what's happened in the Congo recently, they've gotten rid of Mobutu, they've gotten rid of Belgium and other interests, and America is moving in. I think that probably the Société Belgique has been somewhat eclipsed by the Anglo-American power structure. But who is the final arbiter? Who's really in charge of everything? Who are the three men who rule the world? I don't know. But I know who rules all of them, and that, of course, is Lucifer. I also know that if you read occultic writings, they talk about the inner government. They will tell you that Colonel Edward Mandel House, who led the inquiry to Paris in 1919 and was the man who manipulated Woodrow Wilson and really worked to prolong the war, to get America into the war, to ensure that Russia survived. We could spend an evening. Sometime you'll invite me down and I'll tell you the story of Colonel House, because his diary has been intentionally suppressed. It was bought up in 1976 by Times Mirror. So they copyrighted it so it couldn't be copied. It was given to Yale University to be kept for 50 years, available 1976, bought up by Times Mirror, copyrighted so it could be printed. I was there in 80, and they said it's going to be released any day. I called within 6 months. They said it's going to be released any day. They're simply suppressing it. That's how you suppress things. You copyright them. But certainly, Colonel House is part of what's known as the inner government, at least according to the occultists. Société Belgique, where it fits, I can't tell you.
Dr. Monteith.
Yeah. Let me just answer. The papers of Colonel House, his diary, is still back at Yale University. There are only four copies in the world, and I know where they all are. And we'll talk about that sometime if you give me another invitation. Fascinating, fascinating insight into one of the most evil men in the world. And of course, the only way to understand Colonel Edward Mandel House was to understand that he was an occultist, and that's where his mystical powers came, and how he was able to control President Woodrow Wilson and the prime ministers and premiers of all of the European powers. Yes, sir.
Dr. Monteith, you briefly touched on something that I really wanted to ask you about. In the World Almanac, 1996, it states that in the United States, we have 158 million Christians of all denominations. If this were to be true, how could a people of one unity and accord allow what's happened in this country to happen when you see Christian pastors standing up on Sunday or whenever they have services complaining about what's happening out there, but let's do nothing but pray about it. Let's let God do everything for us. I think in God's eyes, that kind of negates our purpose for being alive here on the planet. Could you kind of expound on that a little bit?
All right, fine. Well, that's one of the great problems of our time, is the fact that the Christian church has been neutralized. Now, it's been neutralized because when young men go to our seminaries, they are taught that all you have to do is read Romans, and Romans 1 says, or Romans 2, I've forgotten, Romans 1 or 2, or I think it's Romans 1, and it says that all government officials are there by ordination of God, and you are to be subservient to them, and if you're not subservient to them, you're not being subservient to God. And since it says that in the Bible, it's got to be true. Well, it's not true at all, because Paul was writing a letter to the Romans living in Rome in the first century. If they spoke out, they tried to oppose the power of government. They were, you know, subject to all sorts of horrible retribution. But more than that, I do not believe for one minute God wants us to be subservient to the Luciferian forces in our society today. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to take up arms. It's certain. But it does mean we have to speak out and tell the truth. We've got to educate our ministers. We've got to educate our board of deacons. And that's why the information you heard tonight is important. But the documentation, you're really going to need this, and I hope we'll have it done. I've been working on this for, I started out, I thought it was going to take me 2 weeks. I've been at it for 4 months. We'll have it very soon. Get it to the ministers, get it to the board of deacons, and say, you have an obligation. We're dealing with Luciferian forces at the highest echelons of our government. This has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. The Christian hierarchy has been infiltrated. We've got people out there working with so-called Christian quasi-political organizations telling us we got to elect Bob Dole. Bob Dole? I mean, you know. But I think there's another element. I really think that there's a spiritual blindness out there among Christians. And we've got to take those blinders off. And the only way we're going to do it is what we're doing. My chosen talk radio, because I think it's a great medium. And if you don't listen to me, why, I hope that you will. And get others to listen and get them to support our efforts. We have 17 stations across America. And we've done it. We're just my wife and I and my son and a few of my loyal friends in Santa Cruz who come up and answer the phones and fold the letters and help us. And there are other people doing this. And support anybody who has a voice. If you have a voice, try to get others to support you. If you don't have a voice, then support the people who do have a voice. We have to get the word out. We're working against time. Things are unfolding at such an incredible, incredible speed. But we still have this window. And of course, but more than that, early on, they talked about the spiritual aspect of this. And certainly, 2 Chronicles 7:14, prayer. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. Pray for our nation. Prayer is so important. We have to, if we were worthy, I believe God would intervene. Now, he may very well be so angry at America, he's just going to destroy this nation. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that the more people we can lead to the Lord, the more people we can get to really stand firmly on a spiritual foundation, the more people are going to be able to survive in the terrible, terrible times that lie ahead. We are in for some bad times. But our nation is spiritually blinded, sir. Yes.
Dr. Monteith, I don't know if you've ever run across Doc Marquis. He was born into the Illuminati family, was a member for 20 years, and he claims that the Illuminati is recruiting people through the Masons, and that their organizations, their mouthpieces, their think tanks are the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, Skull and Bones, all these secret societies, and that the Illuminati is really behind the New World Order and the takeover. Do you have any input to this or anything that you can add or subtract?
No comment.
Hello. I've been studying theosophy for the past couple years, and as far as I can see, it's only derived from the highest spiritual standards. I don't see anything Luciferian in it. Perhaps I'm just at the very bottom of the pyramid, but there are these study groups all over the world, and nothing about Lucifer is ever mentioned, but a lot is mentioned about, you know, like I said, how the highest spiritual standards. So where can I get more information to corroborate what you're saying about it?
The Dark Side of Freemasonry that we have back there. Is one book, and you get in touch with me, I can get you all sorts of books that'll get you in the background of theosophy. It comes from the very pit of hell. Have you read The Secret Doctrine, Isis Unveiled, the others?
Well, we're reading The Secret Doctrine right now. It takes a while.
Actually, Madame Blavatsky is deeply involved with with Luciferianism, and she made many, many references to it. But I think if you want two books, one is the dark side of Freemason. The other side is the demonic side of globalism. We have both of them back there. They're $10 each. And if you don't want to put out the money, you can write to me and I'll tear out the pages or copy the pages and get them to you. But the thing is, it is a fraternity within a fraternity. It's going to get good people in, just like the Masonic movement did. You see, Theosophy came out of Masonry. And Madame Blavatsky was a female Mason, as it were, whatever that means. But her ideas came out of the occult, and of course they go back to the mystery religions. And of course the underlying theme of this whole thing is deny the God of the Bible and deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you get into it deeply enough, and I warn you, you're dabbling now, but the deeper you get into it, the more trouble you're going to get into. Find out what you're getting into. Demonic side of globalism has the quotations from Madame Blavatsky on Luciferianism and the dark side of Freemasonry. There's two books right we carry here.
Thank you.
But please look into it, because I will tell you, a lot of good people have got sucked into this, and the deeper you get, the more it begins to possess you.
But I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, being a Jewish person, and I believe that there is a lot of truth before Christ was supposedly born on this earth. So if that's the basis you're coming from, I don't agree with that, because what we study in Theosophy comes from philosophies long before Jesus Christ, from Sanskrit and Hindu and Eastern religions.
It sure does. And where do those Eastern religions come from? And what is their source of their power? What is the source of the power of the Eastern religions? And of course, it's Lucifer. But I hope that you really will look into this, and I hope it will bring you to the same understanding that I've come to through 68 years of study. Yes.
I have a question. Many names, I guess, of Luciferian backers. Are there a shorter list of names who are anti-Lucifer?
Well, there's just two people. I mean, there's God and Lucifer, and then they've got their disciples on both sides. And I would like to think that I'm on the good side, but Lucifer has a lot of disciples out here, and they really are people who are Luciferian. They really do believe that, you see, what worship of Lucifer does, if you worship Lucifer, then you become your own God. And you remember the serpent's message in the Garden of Eden, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you could be as God. Well, if you don't worship the God of heaven and you worship Lucifer, then you can become your own God. You can do whatever you want to. You determine what's right and wrong. But in the final analysis, then you don't need the Bible, you don't need God, you don't need salvation, you don't need a Savior. And that's really what this whole battle is all about. And if they can convince you, in fact, there's one quotation that we have, if you're interested, I could read it. It comes from Albert Pike. The true name of Satan is Yahweh, reversed. For Satan is not a black god, but the negation of God. The devil is the personification of atheism or idolatry. For the initiates, this is not a person, but a force created for good, but which may serve for evil. It is the instrument of liberty and free will. And that's, you can be free if you worship Lucifer. But the trouble is, there's really no freedom unless there are restraints, and those restraints come from God.
Including yourself, what are the top 10 that we could follow their teachings?
I'm sorry?
Along with yourself, who are the top 10 anti-Lucifer?
Don't follow my teachings. I have nothing to offer. I just repeat what I learned from the Bible in my studies. If you read the Bible, you follow the Lord. That's the person you follow. Don't follow for me or anybody else.
Hello, Mr. Monteith. This is the second time I've heard you. I heard you the other day on Cape Wright. My question is this. You just stated, if I heard you correctly, that Yahweh reversed is Satan?
That's what Albert Pike said.
That's what Albert Pike said,
right.
Okay.
I quoted that from Morals and Dogma. If you want the exact page, I can give it for you.
I'm just curious, because I've been following Zechariah Sitchin's work.
Zechariah
Sitchin? Mm-hmm. You probably haven't heard of him. He's been researching the ancient texts of the Sumerians and so forth. But the name is very pronounced the same way Yahweh or Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Or not exactly. But I was just curious when I had heard that.
I'm just telling you what Pike says.
Okay.
And what he's saying is, if you really want to be free, then you worship the devil. That's where you get liberty. And that's why people worship Satan, because now they can become gods. They can create a perfect society without God. They can create a new world order. And that's what they're all about. They are going to create a one new world utopian order without God.
Okay. My other question is this. Do you think the Masons are following similar traditions of the Egyptians?
Yes. This all goes back. I mean, the Masonry goes back to Gnosticism. It goes back to the Kabbalah. It goes back to the mystery religions. And have you ever read Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma?
No, sorry.
It's a fascinating book. You can usually find it in used bookstores. It's been actively suppressed. Every Mason is supposed to turn it back into the lodge, but often when they die, they just give it to a used bookstore. And you can find a copy, or you can come up to my library and spend a couple of weeks reading it. But he will explain to you this all has to do with the mysteries, and that's what the significance of the symbol is on the back of the dollar bill. We as a nation have gone over to the dark side. Now you have to understand that from the very inception of America, there have been two forces at work. One was the Masonic occult mystery religion, and the other was the Christian. And the Christian predominated really up until the time of Roosevelt, and then of course in 1935 under the urging of Henry Wallace, the Secretary of Agriculture, why they put that symbol on the back of our dollar bill, and we've been going down ever since then, as the occult influences have simply overwhelmed the Christian influences in this country. And it's about time the Christians stood up, because there are a lot more of us than there are of them.
Yeah,
and we've got right, and we've got God on our side, but we don't call on him, and are we really worthy of his intervention?
Well, the thing that has bothered me is that people always say, leave it to God, leave it to God. And I know Gary Schnell will comment on this briefly, but I am of the opinion that, and I'm looking for this in the scriptures too, that says that we have to act with God in order to make change. And that's what my position is.
Well, so, I think that we are to act and we're to pray to God. And we're not going to get him to intervene. He's going to intervene when he's good and ready to.
Right.
We can't tell him what to do. Maybe we may want to. Occasionally, when I'm under demonic attack, I can actually use my power as a Christian to defeat that demonic attack. I think anybody can who really loves the Lord. Right. But we are involved in a spiritual battle, and we're just little grains of sand down here, but we just do our best. We're called to be the salt and the light of the earth. Okay. We're called to recognize that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the forces of the darkness of this earth, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what are we to do? Put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And boy, have you ever seen more evil days than we have right now.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Ephesians 6.
I was waiting for someone else to ask this, but I guess I'll have to do it. Where do Washington and Jefferson and Adams fit into your scheme?
All right. Washington was a Mason, but he was not into the occult aspect of it at all. He was a sincere Christian. And as he began to, he attended some Masonic meetings early on, but he wasn't a regular attendee, and I don't think he ever recognized the occult influence. He certainly wrote letters condemning the influence of the Illuminati, which was trying to get into America in the 1790s. So, in my estimation, Washington was a good Christian, but you have to understand that when America was founded, this was a treasonous act of treason against the crown, and these men's lives were in danger, and so many of them went into the Masonic Lodge because here they could have secret meetings and they could plot the overthrow of the British monarchy without fear of exposure, at least they hoped that. Now, Thomas Jefferson was a Mason, and he really was involved with all of the, with the occult, really. He believed in a deity, but he didn't believe in Jesus Christ, although he called himself a Christian, and I have his writings where he did. He did not believe that God, that Christ was God, nor in the supernatural. If you ever read the Jefferson Bible, you see what he really believed. I believe Adams was a Christian. In fact, Adams had a falling out with Jefferson because of his Masonic beliefs. And certainly Adams felt very, very strongly that Jefferson was betraying this dream that they had of creating a Christian republic. So you see this conflict. Certainly Benjamin Franklin was strongly involved with the occult, as was Thomas Paine. And we could talk about the secret Georgia Guidestones, which I mentioned last time I was here, in Elberton, Georgia, this occult monument back in Georgia, which is really dedicated to Thomas Paine. If you read the background and the books we've uncovered since then, Thomas Paine was brought to America by Benjamin Franklin. Thomas Paine then was a professional revolutionary who went to France to create the revolution there. In fact, the whole world revolutionary movement has its foundation in the occult. America was the only nation that had a revolution where we had a strong Protestant ethic, and America then created a free society. In France, they had the revolution, and they went right back into dictatorship. The same thing happened in all the countries of Europe.
I think you said Washington and Adams were Trinitarians. You believe that?
Beg your pardon?
You believe Washington and Adams were Trinitarians?
No, I don't think so. I think Adams was probably a Unitarian, I think that he believed in the... I think that he believed in the divinity of Christ, and I believe that George Washington did, but they may not very well have been the Trinitarian beliefs of today.
I'll try one more and sit down. You think then that you can rally the United States of America by disowning Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Paine, and those people?
Well, I don't think that we can rally them behind Jefferson, because I think Jefferson was involved in the occult, and I think what we have to recognize is these two parallel tracks I talked of. And we have to be objective, and we have to be informed, and we have to talk about the occult and Masonic influence that has been here since the inception of America. Some people will tell you America is a Masonic republic. It's not. But it is. There has always been the Masonic influence. And if you go back and you look at the streets of Washington, D.C., you'll see that they are laid out in Masonic symbology. And every one of the buildings back there has a Masonic plaque on it. The Masons are here, and they're working like termites. Only the foundations of our republic now are fairly well eroded.
Go ahead. Do you know anything about James Clerk Maxwell?
No, I don't.
The unified field theory?
No.
Or anything about our mathematics being changed so we couldn't advance scientifically at the turn of the century like we should have?
That's not my field, sir.
Okay, well, I'll just ask... Do you think Teddy Roosevelt was originally a fairly good president, but he was bought off to run against Taft?
I think he was into this whole Masonic thing. If you read Arthur Schlesinger, he will tell you that Teddy Roosevelt was our first aristocrat. He was part of this whole movement. Now, we have an image of Teddy Roosevelt. That's our image, but sometimes our images are not reality. It's sort of symbolism over substance. They create our images for us. I love the image of Teddy Roosevelt, this rugged individualist out there, you know, fighting the battle at San Juan Hill and shooting the bears. But he really believed in this whole idea of an aristocracy ruling the masses, just as his... namesake Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. But I'm drawing upon what Arthur Schlesinger says, and Arthur Schlesinger Jr. is part and parcel of this whole movement, knows a lot more about it than I do. I wish that the image we had of Teddy Roosevelt was true, but I'm afraid it's not. We have many idols with clay feet.
Doctor, there are no more questions. We want to thank you for coming this evening.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, but you want to get the other pages to go.